Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
The Burt Show.
So it's kind of my job to come in here in the morning, take a look around at the staff right before we start the show. It's, to me, it's like a football game. All right, I got to see how my staff is doing. Are they fired up? Are they focused? Are they in a good mood? If not, I try to create some conversation, play some music in here. I look around the room this morning and Kristen is in La La Land. Well, I don't know what you were thinking about, but you were in this deep stare.
I was
sort of looking at your computer, but sort of not looking at the computer. And normally those things last for a couple of seconds. You were like a zombie.
Yeah.
What? What happened? Where'd you go?
No, I can't tell you yet. I played something out in my head, and let's see if I'm a psychic or not. Your hair looks good, by the way, Mo.
Thank you.
So let's see if it plays out or not. But I was just, I was watching something on my computer, and I'm not going to say concerned isn't the right word, but I'm interested in seeing how something plays out.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
That is right.
I've been online a lot lately, and I'm really interested to see how most stuff plays out. I'm concerned. Was that a look of concern or just?
Slight concern.
Slight concern.
Yeah, slight.
Does it have to do with the show or outside the show?
Slight concern.
Outside the show?
No.
Oh, inside the show.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, because I brought this up before the show.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I think we're thinking about the same thing.
Okay, maybe we are.
Is there a somewhat hole on the schedule that has you curious?
No,
Okay, that's not it.
Never mind.
Mm-mm.
No. Oh, I know, because you put something on there that's a mystery break later in the show, and it's also prime time, which is, yes, fearful, but that's not what I am referring to, because I've worked with you long enough. I'm like, whatever.
Is it someone on the show?
Huh?
Is it someone on the show?
Peoples.
Peoples
on the show. That's a Jimmy word. Peoples.
When do we get to find out what the answers to this mystery?
After this break.
After this break.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, so it was last week that I mentioned that, look, there are a whole bunch of game show answers that are truly, truly terrible. Now, what you guys don't understand is I have been the victim of this. I have been on a set before. I know the pressure, and I know how hard it is to focus so badly that I told you guys when I was on Pyramid, a celebrity called me a bonehead because my answers were so bad. That on national TV, right?
Like I don't know. Is that a badge of honor?
No, it's not. So Mo and I have very separate gears. I've told you guys before, if you listen to this show, Mo kind of has a brand. Dude is cool no matter what is going on. We went skydiving. He was cool. No problems whatsoever. We put him in the most uncomfortable situations, like singing a national anthem in front of a whole bunch of people. He's never done that before. For me, the bit wasn't nearly as fun because he wasn't scared at all. There was absolutely no fear. Right. So what brought this up was an answer on Family Feud last week that we were all laughing at, and it sparked a memory like, oh, my God, I got to find the audio from me on Pyramid just totally choking. But this was the Family Feud audio.
Name a U.S. state that is part of New England.
Spain.
Name a U.S. state that is part of New England. Spain.
Wouldn't that have been something if one person had said that?
Right. Now, that was bad enough. And while
that was bad.
That was really bad. Now, mine happened in 2003 when things didn't go viral. And I'm not even sure my answers were bad enough to go viral. But it's true. Like, once you get on that set, and Tommy was part of the same show that I was. We weren't working with each other at the time. Once you get on that set and you see the lights, and Donny Osmond was the host of the show back in the day. You got the studio audience, the lights are on you, and you see everything that you see on TV. It's intimidating. At least it was for me.
I'm sure it is. I think, and I mean, on a smaller scale, we get used to this, what we do every day. But, you know, people come in here and get on the mic for the first time, and you can see, like, you know, the panic in their eyes and, like, you know, the freeze or whatever. So when you're used to it, it's one thing. But, yeah, to be on a TV set and to do a game show and to be under that pressure, and then also knowing that there's money on the other side of it, it's literally like everything goes out your brain.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't about money. It was just about surviving and not looking like an idiot. Whereas Mo would probably go on a set like this and get aggressive, like, oh, my God, I'm going for the money. For me, it was like, just don't look like an idiot.
And he did.
I think I would be fine, but I still, in the back of my mind, it, more than the money and everything else, it would be like embarrassing myself in front of my friends and family. That would be the part I'd probably be concerned
with. Now it's about saying something stupid and going viral.
Well, I did that. Now, Tommy, we're going to play the audio in a second. I don't recall you playing on the show. Did you get further than I did?
Yeah, I made it to the big chair twice.
Okay.
I won both my rounds. On the show that Kristen and I came from, we played a game called Catchphrase. And Catchphrase is very much like Pyramid when you're at the desk with the celebrity trying to describe the word and they're guessing the word or vice versa. And I was really good at that. So I smoked the people I was playing. And then I got to the big chair. Jane Fonda will be the bane of my existence till I die.
Why?
You're playing with Jane Fonda?
No. I played with Trace Atkins and Kirk Franklin. And one time when I was in there, I forget who I was with, but the category was Famous Janes. And he's going, Fonda, Mrs. Tarzan. And I'm like, what? What? And, you know, it's one of those moments when you're at home and you go, this is the stupidest person on earth sitting in this chair. How can he not give Famous Janes? And I could not get it. I ended up winning. I got to the big chair twice. My total winnings,
$800. Hey, at least you got $800, man. Now, I sat there down there for, like, the preliminary rounds, and I didn't even know who I was playing with. Tommy told me later it was, like, somebody from the Go-Go's or something.
Yeah, it was Jane Weedland from the Go-Go's, which is my favorite Go-Go. She was hot back in the day. Still is. And country music superstar Trace Atkins.
So
a giant to Bert.
He's huge.
He's 6'6".
Yeah.
So standing next to Bert, he looked like he was 8'6".
So we get into the final round of Pyramid, and he's on one side, and he's giving me clues, right? And I'm on the other, not feeling real confident about myself. And he's starting to get frustrated while he's giving me different clues, and I just can't get them. And in this one, I could not get the word styrofoam. And Trace Atkins on national TV calls me a bonehead.
You guys are evenly paired here.
You're up. Styrofoam.
Styrofoam.
You bonehead?
Styrofoam.
I started to reach down and grab my coffee cup.
You did.
I can't believe it, man. This is a tie game.
You bonehead.
You're living right, man.
It's torture.
You're living right.
It's torture. Just let me go home. I just want to go home. Torture. Put her in there. Can I pass?
No.
Oh, put her in there. You're going to play this out, man.
Yeah.
Okay, here's how we break the tie. I'm going to give you the choice between two letters. Those letters are P as in Paul and O.
Bert, so all I need is three to tie again.
All right.
You need four. You want to get in the winner's circle.
That thing scares me.
Well, you've never been there. How do you know?
What'd you come for?
So I just wanted off the set. I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't living in the moment. I didn't even want to be there at that point. Just go home.
Did you even make it to the big chair?
Yeah.
How?
How much money? Yeah.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I don't know. The other person must have choked really, really bad.
The Bert Show. Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
We've got an update on the Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni lawsuits, and it is not looking good for Blake Lively. Ooh, it's looking really bad. So last week, Justin Baldoni had an amendment made to his complaint that added some more details that proved that possibly Blake Lively and the New York Times were colluding with each other as early as October 31st. So this amendment actually came from some sleuthing that some TikTokers did, where they found that if you got the encoding from some of the screenshots from the New York Times article, in terms of it was like the screenshots of the text messages, they were labeled October 31st. And so people were like, well, this really bolsters Justin Baldoni's claim that the New York Times and Blake Lively were working together to get out her information months before it even came out in late December. And the New York Times basically only gave Justin Baldoni like 24 hours to respond to their complaint. And that's why he feels so strongly about the fact that they were colluding together, because if they were working together as early as October 31st and he only got 24 hours to have a comment, that looks really shady on the New York Times and Blake Lively's part. So they filed an amendment. They were able to change some things to their complaint to add more details and more bolstering to the fact that Blake Lively possibly colluded with them. So then Blake Lively's legal team was like, okay, well, if they amended stuff, we want some time to amend things. So can you give us, they asked the judge, can we have some time to add some more things to our complaint? And they're like, sure, you have until February 14th. Blake Lively's team is like, yep, we're going to need some more time. Yeah. We're going to need actually like 2 or 3 more weeks. They want until March 5th to add some more things to their complaint. They want to have more time to add whatever more proof they have to their, to amend it. And the judge basically said, no, you got the weekend. Yeah, you got till Monday.
Again, in the court of public opinion, she's getting a beating right now. I mean, she's really, really, really losing badly. There was also a video circulating yesterday of her on stage at some women's conference. You know what this I'm talking about?
I've got the audio.
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically, just to wrap things up here, it really looks bad on Blake Lively, because it's like, if you have a smoking gun, if you have so much proof against Justin Baldoni that you're in the right, why do you need more time? Like, if you were felt so strongly that whatever you're going to add to this amendment was going to really bolster your claims, why don't you have it ready?
I have a question when it comes to the New York Times and Blake Lively. So if she has a story to tell, right, I don't know, like, what the New York Times role played in the complaint, maybe just the timing of it, because she and Ryan, they put that together and they filed it, right? But if you have a story to tell and you're working with a publication, why is that a bad thing?
It's not a bad thing, but it does look bad on the New York Times part, in the sense that they didn't do their due diligence to get both sides of the story. So if you're working with Blake Lively since October on this complaint that may or may not be true, it has been proven, and then you're going to come out with Instagram videos and TikTok videos and a full expose looking like you're exposing Justin, it really swings the public to believe one thing when you only gave Justin allegedly 24 hours to give his side of the story.
Yeah, you got
to
remember, this is a lot more than just about money. $400 million is a lot of money. But it's about their careers also. Mm-hmm. And it's about perception and IQ scores, or not IQ, but Q scores in Hollywood, which is your likability, which a lot of production companies will use to figure out who they are going to hire for their projects. So if you are just losing a case like this, and the perception is that you're not easy to work with and people don't like you anymore, then you don't get hired.
So, with the New York Times, because that's a credible publication, I'm wondering from a journalistic standpoint, like, what is protocol in journalism, in the journalism industry? If you have a story that you're working with on somebody, how long do you typically give somebody to respond and give their side of the story, and also to like cross-reference and to check facts?
Well, I think at the very least, it shows in the court of public opinion that it's not ethical. Like, yeah. I mean, if it is proven that they were corresponding way earlier than they were corresponding with Justin Baldoni, it shows a major bias on the New York Times side.
Yeah, gotcha. And for most people, I don't think they have debates and conversations like this, like we do, looking at both sides and dissecting it. They see a headline, they don't even read the article, they make an opinion, over.
Exactly. I mean, the whole article was inside a Hollywood smear campaign, but Justin Baldoni just has has as much claim to prove that Blake Lively did the same thing to him. So again, it looks very, very shady on the New York Times part, which is why the lawsuit was filed against them first instead of Blake Lively. But back to the piece of audio that is coming out from Blake Lively that I saw on TikTok yesterday from a Forbes conference where she was talking about her experience as an actress. And it's funny because I think if we had seen this, you know, a year ago, we would have been like, girl boss, look at you go. But now with this new context of Justin Baldoni trying to prove that she tried to hijack the film from him by really overstepping her boundaries as an actress and an executive producer by firing the composer, by firing the editors, this piece of audio is really sitting with people differently.
They just wanted me to show up and look cute and stand on a little pink sticker where I'm supposed to go and say what I'm supposed to say. But I also knew that, like, that wasn't fulfilling for me, that I wanted to be a part of the storytelling, that I wanted to be a part of the narrative, whether that be in the writing, in the costume design, in creating the character. And sometimes I had directors or producers or writers who would welcome that and invite that once they saw that I was able to offer that. And sometimes I would have people who really resented that because they were like, we just hired you to be an actor. Yet when I went in the meetings, I would just seem like I'm just there to be the actor and ready to get the gig. I wouldn't reveal that I actually need to have authorship in order to feel fulfilled. So I think that for them, sometimes that might have felt like a rug pull because you're like, you're trying to assert yourself into something that we didn't hire you to do. And so it was like, it was a really strange position to be in because I felt like, I don't want to just like be an actor. Like I want to, you know, I want to have more authorship. So I think that it's about, you know, knowing what I want and what I need and representing that from the outset. And if people are into that and want to collaborate with me for all I feel like I need to offer and bring to a job, then those are the people I should collaborate with.
And so to her point, she was hired on a specific role for It Ends With Us. And I'll tell you why that role still doesn't allow her to do all the things she says she wanted to do on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
Okay.
The Burt Show.
Mo is having a nice meal with his lady when she screams loudly. He has no idea what's going on.
Have you guys ever had anything that surprised you in your meal when you've ordered?
Oh, God, yeah.
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 I saw this just play out with Amanda a couple of nights ago. It's an interesting evolution because we're eating and she's starting to pick a hair out of her mouth. It's a long hair.
Yeah.
So she's looking at it and I say to her, like, is that yours? And I see in her face that she doesn't quite believe it is, but she says, yes. Yes, I think it is, just to calm herself down. But I don't think it was hers, and I think she knows it wasn't hers also.
Oh.
There, I see your human hair, and I raise you a metal spring hidden in my pasta sauce. That was fun to chomp down on.
A little metallic taste for spice.
I think before any of you guys got on the show here, we were having a meeting, and we ordered breakfast from a place right down the street here. And when my ex-wife dug into it, there was a nail.
Wow.
I think it was a press-on nail that had fallen off into her food.
You win.
And I talked about it on the air. And I got a whole bunch of emails saying, don't talk about that place. There's a good chance it is mafia, and you do not want to talk crap about them. So it's the last time I ever told the story, and it's why I'm not mentioning the place right now.
Well, if it's a mob wife, a press-on nail makes total sense. There would be one found in the food.
I will say it's a very late night place where a lot of people, when they're drinking, go to, and it's not Waffle House.
I think I know what you're talking about, and I saw a monkey in there once.
Me too!
Oh, is that right? Really?
Together? I think so.
I think we might have been.
Does the outside of it have a neon light?
Yes.
Okay.
No comment.
All right.
I feel like I'm in a fever dream right now.
Okay. Both.
All right.
No.
I should have asked you to go last.
I know, right? So mine was like a really long hair that I saw, and I started pulling out, and it was in my rice, and I literally just kept pulling and kept pulling and kept pulling. The question is, though, that the place like that, when that happens, do you ever go back to the place again? Because this was a chain restaurant. All right. This was a low key chain restaurant. And I have never stepped foot in another one of those again because of that incident.
It took me years, but I did. I mean, you're in that part of town, which is Buckhead. You're drinking and you're like, oh, I can't go to that place. There was a nail in my food. Then you're like, but I'm so hungry, I'll risk it.
And it's funny you mention that, Kristen, because this place is literally one of my favorite places. And that's what made it so hard. That's a part of what made it so hard. I was already on this kick of I need to stop eating out as much as I do. Like, for financial reasons, for health reasons, for all the reasons. And I'm right in that space of I want to cook for myself more, but I just don't like cooking and I don't feel like it. But I needed a reason. It's like I almost prayed for a reason to stop ordering out as much as I did. And boy, do God show up, because I'm sitting here with my lady. We just ordered some sandwiches and I hear her like it's like a scream, but a gasp almost, like a what is that? And I'm seeing her kind of toying with her sandwich. And I've never had anything in my food. I've been fortunate. Just hair, something like that. Something like
just hair.
Hair. You know,
that's kind of what we're used to.
I feel like that's like you're gonna get hair in your meal at some point if you eat out enough. But I've never had anything worse than that. And so she starts pulling something out of her mouth.
No.
And I can't really tell what it is because it's like covered in cheese. But I think it's cheese. And then but it's not like the texture is not really like cheesy. And so she looks at it and she's like, there's no way this is what I think it is.
Uh-uh.
And I walk over there and she takes like it's in the sandwich and it's melted in the cheese almost. And she pulls it out of the sandwich, holds it up to the light. It's a receipt.
Huh?
Excuse me?
A receipt?
It's a paper receipt.
What?
Like the whole just receipt?
The entire, like when you, like, you know how you order and it prints out and they're like, here, take your receipt.
Oh, so when she bit, did she just take like pull a piece of the receipt off?
She bit into, like the receipt is literally buried into the cheese. Like the cheese is melted on the receipt.
Are you having lunch at CVS? Yeah. Where you're just pulling it.
You can still see, you can almost still see like the words.
No.
Almost make out the other person's order. The whole piece of receipt.
Did you take a photo and send it to the restaurant?
We did, and they were like, do you want another one?
No.
You like another receipt?
Right. No.
No, I don't.
I want my money back.
All right.
The Burt Show.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What, 3 days removed from the Super Bowl, and people are still talking about the halftime show. And there are now little sub-debates going on. First, there was Kendrick Lamar, and there were some that just didn't quite get it, and felt like it wasn't the spectacular performance that we normally see at the halftime shows, and people didn't realize it was more performance art, and there was a lot of messages in there. And then the sub-drama here has to do with Serena Williams at the very end of the Kendrick Lamar performance.
So, for those that don't know the history, Serena Williams dated Drake back in 2011, I believe. So when Kendrick Lamar performed his diss track about Drake during the Super Bowl, it was fitting, but it was also surprising to see Serena Williams on stage dancing. And she was doing a particular dance mode that I think Drake made fun of her for doing before, too. I think so it was like a double jab.
It's Crip Walk, but it was more than Drake made. Drake didn't really make fun of her for the dance. It was more like the media make fun of her for the dance.
Okay.
Drake was just taking shots at her for being his ex, and he's not really over it, it appears.
I also think she got fined for doing that specific move after she beat Maria Sharapova at the Olympics. So it was also kind of like a big FU to the media and to tennis, who didn't want her to be the face of tennis. They wanted someone like Maria Sharapova, wink, wink, instead of Serena, because, you know, she's doing a crip walk, which, like Uncle Sam, Samuel L. Jackson said in the Super Bowl halftime performance, like, don't be too ghetto. Mm-hmm. And the crip walk, I think, was not what the tennis officials wanted to be the face of the organization.
They considered it ghetto.
Yeah, see, there's so many layers here, and that's why this halftime performance was so cool, because there were so many messages.
Mm-hmm.
But focusing on Serena Williams, and I mean, it was quick, but I mean, she was very prominently there dancing during the halftime show. Stephen A. Smith from ESPN in his show First Take had an interesting take on how he would feel if his wife went on stage to get back at an ex.
If I'm married and my wife is going to join trolling her ex. Go back to his because clearly you don't belong with me. What you worried about him for and you with
no,
me?
I gotta get that leak back.
Stop it. What? What?
Stop it, Stephen A.
This is true.
If you with Serena Williams, you're going to be a kept man anyway.
I don't know what that means, the last part.
Well, because Serena's got so much money, and like she's the GOAT athlete of, I mean, she's one of the GOAT athletes, not of just women, but also men. So he's going to be a kept man. He's not going to have to worry about a thing.
Okay.
Stephen A. was offended by that, too.
Yeah. I felt like if we're not going to take Serena out of this because he said it and now people are coming after him. While we're here, I got to read you this tweet that somebody sent about Stephen A. Smith after he said this. And this is from medium-sized Meech. And he wrote, a 57-year-old unmarried man with a receding hairline who has never been married, mind you, saying he would divorce our greatest living athlete who has been happily married for 8 years to her very rich and loving husband. Keep quiet, forehead. Yeah, imagine saying with your whole chest that you would divorce Serena Williams.
Yeah, the whole thing seems really, really silly to me. I mean, in this particular instance, really? And I'm sure we're going to talk something broader. Okay, I'm glad we're going to have this debate because Mo is like on Stephen's side. Because it's an ex and because it's Drake and he's taken so many shots at her, there's no chance my lady, married or not, is getting back with that guy. And if she could somehow stick it to him in a very big way, the Super Bowl, this is not bothering me, not one bit.
Okay, so that's my question, and that's why I thought this was worthy of a debate. Because even if we reverse roles, if my husband got offered to perform at the Super Bowl, right, or got asked to perform on stage as, you know, to get back at an ex, I'd be like, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
So for me, it was kind of two-party, right? Because if you talk about her going up there to do it to get back at the media, then I feel like there's nothing you can say.
Absolutely.
I completely understand it. I'm glad she did it, and I got the whole vibe of it. But what Stephen A. is saying, I understand. Because if that part is not there, and you just have an opportunity to go on a stage and get back directly to get back at your ex, and you're married, I would want you to turn that down.
So because
like, I wouldn't
still
take that opportunity.
Because it's still somewhere in your heart, in your head, like you're still bothered by it, even though it was in your past. Like it shouldn't be there at all. Like if you're offered that, you don't even care. So I'm not going to take it.
Shouldn't even be top of mind. Mm. Like, why are you even thinking about this person? I had a friend who went to a wedding once with his wife at the time. And his ex-girlfriend was also at the same wedding because they knew the same people. And he went up there and he had an opportunity to not mention it at all, but he told a little joke and took a jab at his ex-wife. And his current wife felt the way. Because why did you use this moment to say something about her or to go back to her when you're here with me? Like, the moment should be about us.
So you don't know what really happened between Drake and Serena, right? We just know that he's kind of been ripping on her and taking her shots for years. But within that relationship, you don't know how bad it was. So nobody hates your ex more than your current when they tell you stories about how somebody else treated you so badly. So if the stories were bad, right, and she goes to her husband and this guy hates her through proxy, or hates him, I should say, Drake, through proxy, then all right, you do that. He did that to you back in the day, even though I wasn't part of the picture. Go get him.
I guess I feel like for me, it's not. I think some people take it as an insecure thing. Like, you think that she still likes him or she still wants to be with him. For me, it's none of that. I don't even want you to hate your ex, because hate takes energy. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel indifferent about your ex, to where it's not even a thing. It don't even come up. That's how I would want my marriage.
I don't know that many have that maturity level.
I think we're glazing over the fact that this was at the Super Bowl, though. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't some petty, like, jab on social media to get back at your ex. You have the opportunity to be a part of what Kendrick said is going to be a revolution televised on screen. You get to A, get back at the media. B, you get to be back at your ex, get back at your ex. And C, you get to be part of a pop culture moment that's so much more than just being like, screw you, Drake, didn't like the way you treated me. See, that's my, so like, because it's the Super Bowl, I feel like it gets a pass. But if it was anything else, I think out of respect for your spouse, you would you would politely decline.
Now, is it different if you're single? Because another thing that's really gotten some media attention is the fact that Travis Kelce's ex was also at the Super Bowl and was making a little bit of a show of showcasing that she was pretty happy that the Eagles won. She had some confetti. She was blowing it at the camera. And a lot of people are defending her, saying, well, she's a sports journalist. She has every right to be there and celebrate for the team. But a lot of people are saying, okay, but how can you not see how this is going to be perceived by other people when your ex just lost?
If I'm Travis Kelce, I'm like Mo was saying, I've got nothing in my heart left for her. So anything that she can do, she's so sort of quote unquote beneath my level of celebrity that she's just a roach, right? And Serena is so big that it makes a very different statement to me.
I see, and I guess I felt like the same way Travis Kelce to me owes it to Taylor Swift to not even give that energy. Like I'm with Taylor Swift now. I'm not even concerned. Mm-hmm. I feel like. And especially because of who Serena Williams is. I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest athletes of all time. That, to me, was low-hanging fruit for her to go out there and crip walk to get back at Drake. But to get back at the media, yes. Drake, nah, I wouldn't want it that.
You know, I do think, just for a second here, I do think there's going to be a point where we're at a saturation point with Kendrick Lamar beating up Drake. And at some point, you got to be like, okay, we get it, it's over.
They're not there yet.
When is that over?
I think that was a part of why Kendrick put Game Over in the crowd. I think it was one for the show and two for the Drake beef. Like, we're done here. But I just don't think other people are done dragging Drake.
All right.
The Burt Show.
There are a lot of people that think that you've got $1 million idea inside of you right now, but you don't tell anybody, and then it just takes too much time and effort to actually see it through, so you just give up on the idea, right? Kristen had one the other night that I thought was a dollar idea until it wasn't.
Apple had apparently already thought of it.
Yeah. So we're sitting around dinner, Abby and Mo and Kristen and I the other night, and the amount of pictures that pop up on my phone when they're saying, hey,
this, 1 year ago today.
Right. Are of my ex, right? And I just have been exhausted by the thought of having to go through all the pictures. I mean, it was a long-term relationship also. Going through all the pictures and deleting them maybe one by one, right? I just didn't want to do that. So they're sitting in my phone and they pop up and they don't feel great to me. So Kristen said, I think it was your idea the other night.
It was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Should be an app.
Yeah, there should be an app that does face recognition. And you're like, hey, delete this person from all of my social media and all of my, you know, all of my photo.
Yeah, your photos.
Your photo album. And Bert's like, that's genius. And then Mo comes back to the table and he's like, yeah, your phone does that.
I felt so bad. Yeah, I was so excited about the idea. I think Apple has covered that one.
You can literally do it in a second.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
In a second. So when you open up your phone and you go to your contacts, there's going to be like 20 people that you either search or have pictures of more than anybody else in your phone. And if you just click on that person, all the pictures come up and then you could just hit select all and then delete them all. It takes you 2 seconds. I had no idea.
My phone, for some reason, decided that one photo I took of Kristen and like Nick Jonas, I think, or Joe Jonas, was a very important person in my phone, and it kept highlighting him. And I was like, I don't want to see a one photo of him.
I was so desperate to get rid of these pictures. I really had the thought a couple of months ago that, you know what? I'm just going to have Mikey go through my phones and delete them one by one, and I'll pay him $50. And then I thought, there are some pictures in there I don't want him to see, so I'm going to have to do this one myself. All right, so Jackson and Mikey are in here today with their $1 million ideas, and we are going to see if they have any legs at all.
You might be overselling us on the $1 million part. This might be worth $5 to $10, but we'll see what it is. So the way that this is going to work is Mikey and I have thought of one trivial problem that exists in the world, and we have come up with products that are set to solve said problem, okay? And we're going to pitch our products Shark Tank style, and you guys are going to vote on who you would rather invest in at the end.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this week's trivial problem, this one's for the guys out there. You know when you go to the bathroom and you always inevitably have the last few drops end up back in your pants?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
You didn't say number one, so I...
number one. Yeah.
What kind of number twos are you doing,
That's what
friend?
I was about to ask Jackson. It's not a really bad
this
thing.
This wasn't my problem.
No.
Somebody is eating way too much fiber.
Number one.
Just to clarify, that doesn't happen every time.
It happened to me. I had to take my shoes off that day.
I think we're talking about two different things.
There were drops everywhere.
For me, it happens at least 50% of the time.
What?
Yeah. I think so too.
I've got a dribble.
Not you?
No. I thought that was every man in the world.
Me too.
Nah, yeah, every man goes through this.
No, it's like once every 3 months,
no.
Man.
Oh, yeah. No way.
What are you, the greatest shaker of all time?
Okay, well, we know that the problem exists. There's varying levels of occurrence and frequency.
You guys are like toddlers trying to figure it out for the first time.
I mean, you can stand there and shake for 5 minutes. It's never finished as soon as you put your pants back on.
Maybe your tunnel is a little longer than mine.
All right, so I'll be starting us off for our very first pitch here.
Oh, is this the Shark Tank thing?
Yeah, it is. All right, sharks. I am seeking one firm handshake and two crisp high fives in exchange for 100% of my non-existent company, the Wiz Watcher.
The Wiz Watcher.
For my dudes out there, are you tired of the last few drops of pee ending up in your pants every single time you go to the bathroom? Well, get used to it because I don't have a problem, miracle cure for that because that's out of my control. As my grandfather always told me, no matter how much you wiggle and dance, the last few drops will always end up back in your pants.
That's a fact.
That is not true.
It's a fact.
You are so in the minority here. Mo, Jackson, Mikey, and my 3-year-old son all have this problem.
The only good genetics my dad has ever given me might be this.
If this is inevitable, why don't we try to capitalize on this? This is why we've teamed up with the company Pretty Litter and launched our very own product, the Wiz Watcher. For those of you who don't know what Pretty Litter is, it's cat litter that changes color when your cat goes to the bathroom and detects pH levels and other health markers so you can ensure your cat is healthy. So why don't we do the same thing for us? Our patented product fits on the inside of all forms of undergarments, boxers, briefs, and everything in between. The Wiz Watcher captures those last few droplets, and our revolutionary Wiz Watch technology instantly scans the liquid and sends a notification to your phone with your results.
So you basically created panty liners for men.
Yes, but it tracks your health.
But it tracks your health.
Wait, you got to have cat litter in your underwear?
No. That's just where the technology's derived from.
Okay, so no litter. No, just a panty liner that will tell you if your pH levels are too high in your pee.
We're trying to sell men on pads?
Hey, yes. Let me cook. Your biohacking is bio-lacking without this product. So join me and over 6 other loyal customers who have started their journey into the wonderful world of Wiz wearables.
But I would like to order 100.
He doesn't need them.
I don't know. I mean, if we're going around the table like they do at Shark Tank, I would say this is not a thing for most men. So for that reason, I'm out. But maybe I'm the anomaly.
Uh-huh.
I would say I do think men need a solution, but that's not the way.
That's not it.
That's fair.
This feels like an ignorant lady question, but have you considered toilet paper? Like, can you just do a little dab?
I do that.
But if you're standing at a urinal, there is no toilet paper.
Does it track your health?
What if the toilet paper tracked your pH levels?
She's not talking about when you're sitting on a toilet,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is a standing up shake.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She said, can't you use toilet paper? But if you're standing at a urinal, there's no toilet paper within access of you.
Okay, we're going to circle back to this problem later in the show because I want to see if I'm in the dead minority on this.
We're not doing a poll on the show.
Well, that's an interesting use of words. But as I'm looking around the room, Mo says it's a problem. Jackson said, Mikey, Tommy said so, and we have an engineer in here that's been like shaking his head. Yes, also. So maybe I've got a real gift.
I legit thought that every man went through this.
Yeah, me too.
Also, before I start, I'd like to go ahead and admit my problem's a little bit worse. I get the dribble on the outside.
Excuse me?
Of what?
Of my pants.
Wait, what?
I dribble on the outside of my pants. I got to admit it. There's a problem to be solved. I'm going to solve it. I'm not proud of it, but I'm going to solve it.
How is that possible?
I don't know, man. I just dribble. So I dribble on the outside.
Kristen's 4-year-old son Jimmy has the same problem.
Well, then I have a solution for the two of us.
So what? I've got so many questions. We'll save it for bonus. But I got so many questions. Like, yeah.
Save it for bonus. Here's my question.
Okay,
Mikey, do you know what an inside thought is?
Never heard of it.
That was one. Let's get you a journal.
I have an outside dribble. All right.
You're supposed to play a theme.
Music? Can I get some music? Hello, sharks. Fellas, is there anything
worse?
You
bring that down a little bit? Can't hear.
Yeah. I can't hear myself. Let me start over. Fellas, is there anything worse than being in a rush, hitting the urinal before the big meeting, and wouldn't you know it, you look down and there it is, the dreaded dribble.
Is that why you never wear khakis?
Yeah, it shows up worse on gray sweatpants. No, it's actually, there is no solution.
Stick with dog jeans, brother.
But I do have a solution for that. In a pair of gray sweatpants, you have no chance of hiding it. I've had to go as far as putting my entire pants under the sink to make it all the same color. Well, I think I speak for...
This is crazy.
It is crazy.
What is going on? I think I speak for all dribblers, no matter their gender or orientation, that when I say we are fed up, you've heard of house shoes, you've heard of gym shorts, you've heard of street hats, but get ready for...
Oh, no.
Bathroom pants.
That was very anticlimactic.
That was the landing.
Disposable pants at every urinal.
Diapers?
Come on, Sam.
No, disposable pants. You got...
Like tearaways? Like
tearaways. Hold on. It seems like nobody's really attaching to this idea. So good thing I have a couple more ideas here.
Oh, okay.
I also have...
Wait, I'm not done with this one.
Okay, so you like it. All right.
So these... No. I hate it.
Okay.
I'm just really curious. So these go underneath the pants?
They're latex. You take your pants off, you put on these latex pants, it bounces right off.
Oh, wow.
That was so cool.
So now you're going to need hooks by the urinals so people can hang their pants.
No, it's like, you know those latex gloves that you pull out of that box?
Yes.
It's like that.
Oh, so it goes over your pants to shield them from the dribble?
No,
you got to take
I know it sucks, but you do have to take your pants.
Everyone at the urinal.
What?
So you're at the urinal. You drop your pants.
Yeah.
You're butt naked.
Yes.
And then you put on new pants.
Correct.
For how long? When can you put your regular pants back on?
You finish at the urinal when the dribble's gone.
Dude, don't you think men are going to feel uncomfortable dropping everything?
It's worth it.
You thought this through?
Yeah. I'm into it.
Maybe we should go on to the next one.
Okay.
I think we're done.
Right. I'm going to skip this one. I'm going straight to the Automator 3000. Automated urinal extender. Bowl extends until it hits your legs. Boom. The Mr. Robo Shake, that's self-explanatory.
Mr. Robo Shake?
Wait, what? It is not self-explanatory.
So you've got a robot in there that does the shaking for you?
Yeah, he'll shake. Yeah.
There's going to be some freaks in there using it for other things.
Going to the bathroom quite often there.
Shakeweight 2.0.
Hey, Tommy doesn't drink any water at all. Stop and he's been in there for 4 hours.
I also have some pant clips. It's basically just binder clips for the top of your pants to reduce surface area for dribble. The drawback is you have to pull your pants down past your butt.
Okay. So. All right. I think we played this one out.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
I am utterly stunned that this is even a common problem.
I'd like six more.
You learned something.
This is safe. We're not done with you just right now.
The Burt Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.